Hey, what's up? This is Tony Hawk. You're on PS3blog.net.
This is Todd Howard, game director for Bethesda Game Studios on PS3blog.net.
Hi, I'm Emily Rose. I'm here with PS3blog.net with Oli and Paul Fierce.
I'm Hideo Kojima, PS Blog. Hi, PS Blog.
Hey, everybody, it's Nolan North, Nathan Drake from Uncharted. You're watching PS3blog.net with Oli and Paul Fierce. Oh, yeah. PlayStation.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 88 of the PS3 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Miss Zaya.
Hello.
And Isley's out. He is on vacation for, let's see, I sent him a text. I was trolling him. I love trolling Isley via text message because he can take it and he can also kind of dish it back. Let's see, he's all, where'd it go? I think I accidentally deleted it because I sent you both a text on the same string, and I think when he replied, yeah, it kind of went away. But, oh, no, here we go. He's all like, he's on a trip this week for an anniversary. Mm-hmm. I'm all, anniversary? Pfft, take a trip to celebrate the divorce. Just kidding. Have fun not getting your Dead Space 3 platinum. And then he did a frowny face, and I'm all, where'd you guys go off to? Hawaii? And he's like, haha, nowhere quite that hot. Colorado to do the mountain thing. And I'm all, oh, yes, the mountain thing. I read that in How Not to Celebrate Your Anniversary Monthly. And I'm all, do you do mountain climbing, or is there still some snow for skiing? And he goes, we both climb and cave explore, so it's actually a lot of fun for us. Plus, if there's a fight, she'll just push me down a ravine. He's all, normal beach anniversaries are for hippies. I'm all, sounds fun. Plus, if she bitches at you, it'll echo all throughout the cave. And he's all, haha, that'd be something. You still owe me Dead Space 3, though, and I'm all, save that for our anniversary. But I always love trolling, just giving him a hard time in text. He's so funny. But yeah, so he'll be out. Hopefully he has fun doing his caves, his spelunking. But anyways, let's jump into the week that was. There were like no releases. The only thing you notice is for PlayStation Plus, Sleeping Dogs is free. It's part of the Instant Game Collection. So I might download it. I know it got really good. Everybody liked it. I know it didn't sell too well. So like I think 1.5 million copies or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I hear good things about it. I'm not particularly a fan of that genre, of that kind of crime open world game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear the story's good, so who knows? Maybe I'll have to try it. But yeah, it's there. Also, Papa Yo gets a discount. PS1 classics, just nothing anybody really cares about. Like, if anybody's heard of these games that are classics, they're all Japanese ones. It's like, okay. Oh. PS2 classics, Fatal Frame 2, Crimson Butterfly. I never played the Fatal Frame games. I never really heard a whole lot about him either, but I guess that was kind of before I really scoured the internet for conversations on video games. DLC, Aliens, Clone Marines, Alpha Squad Map Pack, Everybody Dance, God of War Ascension, DLC, Hyperdimension, Nectunia, Injustice, Gods Among Us, LVP Karting gets the Tron Legacy Karts Pack, which I figured you would be all over if you had the game.
If I had it, I would have been bought already.
Yep. Tomb Raider gets Radiant Legacy, and then Port Royal 3, Pirates and Merchants, Dawn of Pirates. And then Vita DLC is Pinball Arcade. There's also a demo for Fuse, Insomniac's upcoming third-person squad shooter, and discounts for Retro City Rampage. So that's it for new releases. I'm just going to download the demo for Fuse, but I didn't because I hear the game. I was listening to Ted Price on a Major Nelson Radio the other day. He did an interview on there for a little while, and he was talking about the game and how it really plays best with four people. But a mechanic of the game is where if you're playing maybe just two people, you can jump between any of the available AI characters at any time and play as them to level them up, or just because you feel like using that character. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. Reminded me of, I think it was like Battlefield 2033 did that. You kind of jump across the map against change between everybody. But I like the idea of you can combine your attacks to do bonus damage and get bigger XP chains, or like you might freeze a guy or cause him to do something, and then I blast him with one of my special moves, and it does a different combination of stuff. Kind of like skill chaining, except you can do it like four people in a bunch of different combos, and I think that sounds pretty cool. But then it's like, okay, that's awesome, I could do that, but unless I have four people to play through, I mean, I could barely get three people to play through Borderlands the entire time. So I doubt I'll have, you know, enough people to play Fuse, and I'm still kind of on the fence. I'm curious. I'm waiting to see the review, how it does. I'll probably pick it up and end up playing by myself, like single player, I'm sure, but I'll be interested to see how that turns out. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. There's a bit of it, just not huge chunks of stuff. There may be a sequel to Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon at some point. In an interview with Major Nelson Radio, Michael Biehn, the guy, the actor who did the voice for Sergeant Rex Power Colt in Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, he was also in, you know, Aliens and the Terminator. He was the 80s action legend, as they call him, Michael Biehn. He was on there, and his interview was funny. It was over the phone, but not too great on his end. A lot of kind of stuttering, but he was saying how he was talking to creative director Dean Evans, and how he was really excited, and how he wants to kind of get another one going, kind of turn into a franchise, and which sounded more like something someone else who was more versed in sort of NDA or keeping thing under wraps wouldn't have said. But he was just kind of like, yeah, he's totally excited, you know, he kind of wants to, like, a franchise, so he kind of got the scoop on there. He's got a sequel in mind and everything, is what he said, so we'll see if, you know, what's going to happen. It was kind of interesting to listen to him, the interview, because he was talking about how he's not a huge gamer, and, like, his kids play, like, Minecraft, and that's about it, but he doesn't know anything about video games, really. And normally he was saying how people come to him, like, say, oh, are you that guy from Aliens or from Terminator, this and stuff, and, you know, or from, like, these couple movies. And then he goes, but now, like, in the past couple weeks, like, when they found out about this, like, he said, like, about 100 people came up to him and said, like, oh, you're in Blood Dragon, how is that? And they always come up to him because of Blood Dragon. So I thought that'd be kind of cool, like, to sort of refresh people's memory on who you are, especially younger kids. I didn't realize he was in Tombstone. I don't know why I didn't recognize him. I'm trying to remember the character name, but he's the one that always ends up, like, fighting with Doc Holliday. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie or recall that, but he's in there. He has, like, a mustache, and he always wears a cowboy hat, and he's got short hair, so I guess that's why I didn't recognize him. Not that I necessarily knew who he was back then, but when I heard he was in that, I thought back and go, oh, that is him. I was like, man, I like that character. I mean, I like Doc Holliday better. Val Kilmer does a great character there. But yeah, and Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon is just so awesome. That game is over-the-top 80s referential. And
I heard it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, the dialogue's great, but it's so much fun because it's like, it's Far Cry 3's gameplay, which is just awesome, and then just the dialogue, and there's this one scene where the AI starts commenting about how the game, you know, the game is made like it's an 80s movie, and it's in the future in the year 2007, and the AI, or the person talking to Rex Power Colt at one point says, yes, and it's just like how video games have proven to be beneficial to a person. There's no scientific evidence of how it's bad for you. And it goes on like this long conversation, and it's just, you know, kind of making fun. And it's just like the funniest thing ever. Oh, it's so good. I can't wait to play it again. And it seems like, I mean, the map is pretty big. I mean, it's huge. I thought it was just going to be kind of tiny. And I guess if you just run around and do everything there is, you can spend a damn long amount of time in this game. And I'm assuming they also kind of shaved off, like, the file size wasn't that big, and you don't need Far Cry 3 to play it. I think it was only like 1.3 gigs. But considering the cutscenes are just like these little animated stills, like, tiny little box window to be like more 80s, it's not only it's pillar boxed and letterboxed, so it's hella tiny, but I'm assuming they don't spend that much, you know, memory space just for that, versus if they had, like, full-on cutscenes. So they, you know, save a little bit there. But yeah, it looks like it's going to take a while, and I played a good amount of it, and it's really fun. But, yeah, David, I follow David Jaffe on Twitter, and he posts, is the crouch icon and a nod to the Terminator, or am I just looking too into it? And I looked, and like, yeah, the icon for the crouch when you're crouching is a total nod to the Terminator. I was like, I didn't even notice that. It's so awesome. That game is out of control, and it's just so much fun. So much neon everywhere. I feel like I'm like, dude, this is, it's like you're in Tron, except 80s.
Cheesy. Well, cheesier.
Yeah, cheesier. But it's so fun. And then the weapon descriptions are fantastic, too. But, yeah, great game. Definitely got to get it. It's $15. So, let's see here. GameStop will be ending PS2 trade-ins in June. They won't take any games or systems. So, and of course, which is kind of interesting that they're not taking the trade-ins considering, well, let's see, I don't know if they're not taking game trade-ins, they're just not taking console trade-ins, I guess. According to this article on IGN, see, confirmed no one accept PS2 trade-ins as of June 1st. Yeah, it looks like it's just that, but, yeah, so you won't be able to, not that I've seen many of them on the shelves. But hopefully they still keep stock of some of the games, because that is kind of the only way you can really find PS2 games is used at places like that.
Mm-hmm. And I thought they stopped PS2 stuff a long time ago.
Like at the store?
It's just been a rumor or something.
You mean like GameStop in general? Or?
Yeah, I thought GameStop stopped taking PS2 stuff a long time ago, like a year ago.
Well, I'm sure like that can be at like a store's discretion. Like obviously that would be something that's very regional. Maybe like in not the inner city, but like in a big city, like let's say San Francisco.
Maybe.
They're like, we'll keep some. But in a place like where I live, like up here in Santa Rosa or Windsor, they're like, okay, well we've had some and they don't sell, so there's no real point in taking them in. Mm-hmm. You know, and I doubt they're gonna send them off to be like refurbished at some central location. They're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, not that I plan on trading in any of my PS2s. Not that I use them, but I actually thought about hooking up my Slim just so I could play FF12 on my tiny little CRTV. Just because I really want to play 12 again, but it looks like hot trash when I, quote-unquote, upscale on an HDTV.
Yeah.
I wish they'd do an HD version of that game.
That'd be so badass.
Oh, that game was so fun. It was one of my favorite FF games. It's like 7 then 12. And it sucked because Flash never, my roommate, he never finished it. Like he didn't
really?
Get the file. He didn't like it. He didn't like the battle system. And I was like, I loved it. I
bad
loved the,
Flashy.
Oh, I loved everything about the battles. And I thought the story was great. And Balthier and all those characters were awesome, man. And just the whole, I love the whole AI idea, how you can kind of stack it all, because you still had to do stuff. It wasn't like, it just made grinding so much easier, though. It was just like kind of run around and everything attacks on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do actual boss fights, it's like, okay, let's focus.
Automate it if you wanted to.
Yeah, you can, and it's like, but during like big boss fights, like even then, it's really hard. Like you're still going to have to manage. So, and I usually only did a couple certain things, like, you know, auto cast this or keep this person back so they'd be the healer.
Yeah.
But, I never used the mists because they were just, I felt like they were broken. They were way too powerful.
Yeah, a lot of them were.
Yeah.
Especially the later ones, the optional ones you could go fight to get. Those were way overpowered.
Yeah. But, and then I also never used like any of the, I never really used the summons either. Like their moves. Mm-hmm. I never used those, but except the one time when you had to use it in order to progress further. It's like, you have to walk around and see the wall, but that game was awesome. I just love the idea of everything being out in the world and spawning, and you run into it and fight it. You don't have to go into the create transition to the battlefield. It was just much easier. Oh, so good. I really want to play that. Let's see here. EA has acquired the exclusive Star Wars game license. So, if anybody makes any Star Wars games, they'll only go through EA, and they also was an article saying that they will strictly all future Star Wars games through them will be using the Frostbite 3 engine. So there is that for anybody who's interested in any of the Star Wars franchises. Let's see. The Borderlands 2 Psycho Class release date is announced for May 14th, is when the playable character Krieg will be available. That's next week. It'll be $10 for people who... oh, it's separate from the season pass, so it's $10 for the character, which seems like a lot for a character.
Yeah.
But considering the first character, I guess, was free for season pass holders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's still playing Borderlands. I mean, I know I have the expansions I still have to finish, but I don't see myself rolling another character. I mean, it's not like an MMO. It's just a game.
It always kind of surprises me that there are still people that play Borderlands, and it's like, I'm either underestimating the kind of endgame that it has, or people are just crazy and playing through it 40 times.
No, it has no endgame. I mean, and technically neither does, like, Diablo, in the same way Diablo 3 doesn't technically have an endgame. Like, yeah, sure, there's some NMs, like really H&Ms you can fight,
mm-hmm.
but what's the point of getting the guns? I mean, you're done.
Like, yeah.
That was one of my biggest issues with the game, was like, okay, what they should have had was normal NMs in, like, as you level up that you can fight, that would give you good stuff for X amount of levels that you can go back and fight again to get a better version of. And then, granted, when you replay the game for the second time through, you fight those guys again, they'll drop it, obviously, a better version to your level. But it's like, what's the... I don't understand the point of getting, like, oh, I got the super badass... rocket launcher. It's like, but why? There's no... I mean,
what are you going to go use that on?
Yeah, PvP isn't a huge thing in that game, and mm-hmm. it's like, okay, so when the next expansion comes out, you'll just tear through all the shit? I'm like, that's not fun to me. It'd be different if everything carried over. Mm-hmm. Like, if your stuff in Borderlands 1 went to Borderlands 2, it's like, okay, that's cool. But I don't see a purpose of it. Like, endgame to me is an MMO-specific thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unless it's something like, let's say, like, unless I think of items that give you stuff, like in Metal Gear, classic thing is always the optic camo or the bandana for infinite ammo. It's like,
yeah.
Those things, but those are two items you get. You get one right when you beat it, so then when you play it again, you can use those just for fun, for chits and giggles. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't see myself playing through Borderlands 2 again, because it's a pretty long game, and there's sections through it that after you beat it the first time, you're like, oh, great, I'm at this part. It's going to take forever to get through.
Yeah.
Like, that's the downside of that game, I felt, like, when I went through it again. It's like, okay, well, I enjoyed it the first time, but the second time, it's like, oh, here comes that section. I know it's going to happen. This is going to suck, and I'm just doing it to level up. It's like, come on.
It becomes a chore.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people that still do it, whatever. It's like, is that your thing?
They think it's fun. That's fine. But I don't see the point of them, you know, pooping out characters that you have to pay for so you can play through the game four more times with that character. It just seems silly to me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if, like, I went through and I was just doing it, and then maybe one day me and three other people who have max characters just decide to go through the game four player all the way through just for fun, I guess, because mm-hmm. we all went through it like maybe two or less. Like, I guess, because if someone's like, hey, you want to do a run through of Borderlands 2 for people, it's like, I suppose that would be fun, because I only did it like two or three. I never really went with four.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather do that from the start. There's a new PlayStation 3 bundle that includes Infamous 2 and Gran Turismo 5. It's a legacy bundle that has 500 gigabyte hard drive and a free month of PlayStation Plus. It'll be replacing the, I believe, the God of War one that was just out.
Yeah, it's the same hard drive size.
Yeah, it's going to be $300. I'm curious how much those games... It's the XL edition as well of Gran Turismo 5. I wonder how much you can get for trade-ins for those. Because my cousin, his PS3 Slim, I believe, is giving him problems. I was like, he can't get it to work for me. His hard drive has issues. Mm. And so we can't play Dead Island Riptide unless it's on the weekends. And I'm like, you just got a new PS3, man. I was like, you just get the Slim. He's like, wait, yeah. He's like, yeah, it was going to cost me $300. And I was like, no, the Super Slim's, like, cheaper. But I forget it. You only bundle stuff with it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, you should just buy the bundle and then sell the stuff back to, like, GameStop. I'm like, here, get some in-game store credit. But it's funny, when I did this course for work, and part of the course that I paid, they gave me an iPad, one of the fourth gens, the Retinas. that had course material on it, and it's only 16 gig. But I didn't want the iPad, considering it made the course go up by a good couple hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted all the supplemental material that came with it. And then when I finished it, and I'm waiting to get my money back from the company since they're reimbursing me, I thought about taking the iPad and selling it to GameStop, or GameSpot rather. GameStop, yeah, not GameSpot. GameStop's the website. But selling it to GameStop because they were doing like a good promo, like if it's in good condition, you get this much money. And it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I was like, well, it's in fantastic condition.
Because I touched it once.
It's like, yeah, I got some smudges, but I can wipe those away. And other than that, I just wipe it. And it's like, mm-hmm. I can get a lot of money for this, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I'll probably just hang on to it. I mean, I use it sometimes. Still now that I'm done, but not a whole lot. I just play that one game. What's it called? Plague Inc. Play that on there because that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
I use it to read news as well, but I don't really. It just sits there.
Yeah, it's just something to have.
Yeah, it's a Wi-Fi only model. It's not a 3G one, but
well.
I have Wi-Fi in my house, so I guess I can use it.
Yeah.
But let's see here. Bethesda's announced their new game that they are working on. Wolfenstein: The New Order. It's basically like a reimagining of the long-running franchise. It's going to be coming on all consoles, including next-gen ones. Well, actually, not Wii U. Mm. It doesn't say Wii U. It just says Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and next-generation consoles sometime in Q4 2013. But it doesn't list Wii U, so I'm guessing not Wii U. Mm. It's being developed by Machine Games. They're the studio that was founded by individuals. The people that used to work at... who helped found Starbreeze Studios, the guys who made the first The Darkness. Let's see. It's still going to be an action-adventure shooter. Watch the trailer. It's just a teaser. It seems like kind of like an alternate reality one.
Mm.
But let's see here. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's created using... Apparently it's using id Tech 4, but it might also be using, let's see here, while it was created, it was created using id Tech 4, IGN reports that they heard reports earlier this year that Machine Games was working on a project using the id Tech 5 engine, so it could be using id Tech 5, which is maybe why it's not on Wii U, I suppose. DICE said they're not going to be making any games that have the Frostbite 3 engine on Wii U because they had no success even with the Frostbite 2 engine. They said that had not favorable results, which I thought was weird because I feel like how could they not be? Even the Frostbite 2? I mean, you got it to work on PS3 and that's a hard, like a difficult architecture, and I figured the Wii U has more RAM than the PS3 did. Granted, the PS3 had XDR, but still, it's like, really? You can't get it going up on the Wii U? I mean, I'm really curious, you know, what that's going to do for that console. And if they're even going to try, because I feel like they're just kind of doing the thing. It sounds like they're doing what Valve did with the PS3 initially. It's like, oh, it's too hard to work with. we're not going to do it. Because it seems like kind of a bad business move. I mean, not that there's a lot of them on the market right now, but...
Yeah.
Who knows? Beyond Two Souls gets a special edition that contains 30 additional minutes of gameplay. It also has a card metal case. The special edition includes behind-the-scenes videos, game soundtrack, dynamic theme, and PSN avatars. There's no pricing listed on it, but we'll see on soon, probably. Of course, Beyond Two Souls comes out October 8th in North America. Looking forward to that. I probably won't be picking up the special edition. I don't want a metal case. I want the normal case with the picture on it. So I can put it on the shelf. Counter-Spy was announced for PS3 and PlayStation Vita. It's a Cold War era game. It's actually created developer Dynamite. It's a 10-person team of passionate game makers founded by ex-LucasArts and Pixar employees. Which sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
It's also coming to mobile platforms in addition to Sony's consoles and handheld. It'll be interesting. It looks kind of like a... It's got that, like, Shadow Complex, Metroid, flashback kind of a style gameplay, the side-scrolling kind of thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then we also have Hohokum. It was announced for PS3, PS4, and PS Vita. It's an all-new game. It'll be coming to all those three consoles in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collaboration between Sony's first-party studio, Sony Santa Monica, of course, because Sony Santa Monica works with everybody, and with artist Richard Hogg and British studio Honey Slug. It is, quote, a whimsical, colorful game with an emphasis on playful exploration and creativity. You take on the role of a curious flying snake-like creature, a technicolor, calligraphic worm-like, kite-like being. One of the main aims of the game is to create something where the usual pressures of video games, constantly being told to do things, fearing failure, and being challenged to earn progress, were all absent. Sounds interesting.
Sounds weird, but it looks adorable. Like, they had that...
Yeah.
The couple of the screenshots. Looks really cute.
There's, like, a bunch of eyes. Like, the trees are eyes. It looks really weird. So there is that. And let's see, what else we got here? News. Apparently, the Watch Dogs co-developers revealing a new game at E3. Let's see. Reflections, the UK, reported by IGN, the UK developer aiding Ubisoft Montreal and Watch Dogs will reveal its next game at E3 in June, according to the studio's managing director, Pauline Jacquet. At the Game Horizon conference, Joystick reports that Jacquet said, We work on something that I'm not supposed to tell you about. It's going to be announced at E3. So, even their linked, Jacquet's LinkedIn profile has specified Reflection is working on, quote, an IP I'm not supposed to mention. Which I think is better than most people post on LinkedIn. They always say they're working on something that they shouldn't be saying necessarily what they're working on. But, so that's interesting. Let's see. Reflection previously developed the Driver series, and Jacquet previously worked on Ghost Recon and Assassin's Creed titles. Her studio recently contributed to Far Cry 3 as well as Just Dance 4. So we'll see what they're doing. That's interesting. Let's see, what else we've got here? Doki Doki Universe is coming to PS3, PS4, and PS Vita. It has was revealed a new game by Human Nature Studios. Let's see here. It's a tough... Let's see, IGN. It's in the studio founder Greg Johnson admits it's tough to describe the game because it's actually a set of related products that will be released at the same time. Players' first exposure to Doki Doki will be in the form of a free download for the PS Vita, PS3, and PS4. This is a light version of the game where players can fly around the universe and take fun personality quizzes. He later notes if players decide they want to land on planets and interact with all the crazy characters in our universe, they can purchase and download the full game, which they might call an RPG/simulation/interactive story game. So it sounds like there's a lot of indie games coming that Sony's announcing.
Yeah. Which is really neat, like, as long as they're good. But yeah, a lot of them sound weird, but I'm sure they play fantastically.
Oh, yeah, definitely weird. Totally weird. Like, I feel like a lot of games. And I know they just announced as well that developing for the Vita, there's no longer a dev fee, I guess, to get their game on there. You can just develop for it, and then bam. Of course, there'll be a cut going to Sony, but it won't cost you money to put it on the system. So I think even the mobile games, not just Vita, but PlayStation Mobile, I think those fees are waived as well. Sony might be teasing Gran Turismo 6. According to IGN, Sony says they have an exciting announcement next week. Let's see here. As announced by Sony this morning, Gran Turismo creator Kazunori Yamauchi will host a 15th anniversary celebration at the Silverstone Circuit in the UK on May 15th, where he will, quote, provide an update on the future of the Gran Turismo game. A teaser trailer released today hints that, quote, something big is happening. I said that weird. At the event, and shows logos for Gran Turismo 1 through 5, leaving an empty space for 6. Join us. Let's see. Yep. So, no doubt that's going to happen. I'm sure they want to do that before, because that'll be before the Microsoft reveal on the 21st. So they're like, oh, let's get some more news out there. But for Gran Turismo fans, I know everybody was talking about, we talked about the guy who said it sort of matter-of-factly that the game was in development still, and everybody was also wondering when Drive Club was announced that, okay, well, what about GT6?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, even back then they said, well, it'll be PS3, and that made a lot of sense, so. let's see. That will do it for the news, I suppose. Not much else. There's a couple things. A couple of people fired from Ubisoft, apparently.
I saw that the Assassin's Creed creator was fired from Ubisoft. It's somebody else who originally left Ubisoft to go to THQ,
Montreal.
And then Ubisoft bought THQ and then fired those two people.
Yep. Well,
like, what the heck?
There, I think, is like he left and he went there and then they acquired him, and then they said that they found that his ideas and the company's ideas of where to unify their visions were mismatched, like they didn't jive, and so they got rid of him. But he said, nah, they're just doing it just to do it. Their claims are totally baseless and it's lame.
A lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah. I also saw that there's an article posted from EA saying that Crysis 3, Dead Space 3, and another game, I forget what else, failed to meet sales expectations. They didn't release any numbers. Which is disappointing. Like, okay, I get that, but
yeah,
I wanna
but
know
how
the
much
are.
Did they miss it by?
Yeah, I mean, fuck. Tomb Raider, Square Enix, like said, that failed to meet expectations, but it sold 4.6 million.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it didn't meet
forecast
sales.
It's like, well, what
sales.
Are you projecting?
Exactly.
Really?
I saw a great tweet. It was someone's like, it's all, quote, we need to lay off some staff because, or it's all sales for Tomb Raider sold 4.6 million copies, which failed to meet our expectations. We need to make some cutbacks. And then the person's all, you should fire your projection analysts.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, totally. But so it's like, I'm
one to go.
I am really curious how much Dead Space 3 sold, because I know back in the day they said, like, if they expected Dead Space 4, the game must have sold 5 million copies, which is ridiculous, one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering how much it did, because I like the Dead Space franchise. Granted, I think they can do much better with the next game than they did with 3. Like, I understand why it's not as great. Like, I still enjoyed it, but I played all the way through co-op, so that's why I enjoyed it there. But
yeah.
I know it's not quite as scary as, you know, 1, or definitely 1, and it's not as scary as 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do like that franchise, and I want to know what happens next, because the way it ends, it's like, fuck, I need another game. But
it's got one of those cliffhanger endings that's like, we could have another game, or we couldn't. You don't know.
Man, that's the worst. It's like, in some of the, even in the first two games, like, no spoilers, but there's not in the first game, but there's like endings that it's like, okay, well, it's not like you have to know, it's just like, okay, the end.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's like, okay, I need to know.
We need to talk,
yeah.
Devs.
Especially with the way the actual game ends, I guess it ends in a similar fashion of this. Spoilers. But it ends in a similar way that 2 ends.
Mm-hmm.
I guess kind of like with the, well, anyways. But the way the DLC ends, because the DLC picks up after the end of the game, it's like, oh, and that's the worst. And it's like, okay, well, if they don't do a game, they better at least do another DLC for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, you can't just do that to me, because that's the most bullshit ending if you're not going to do another one. But, whew, man, I don't know why I'm so yawny. But, yeah, that'll do it for there. I was trying to think what other news there was. Not a whole lot. That was a good amount anyways. That about wrap it up for that. What have you been playing lately? Still the FFs?
Yeah, less of Final Fantasy XI. I've been playing, they came out with Ragnarok Online 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing a little bit of that. It's pretty fun. It's just neat to see, like, all the little Ragnarok characters in 3D and running around and going back to like the main town for the first time with your little level 10 character. It's pretty neat.
That's fun. And taking pictures of your cats.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
adorable little
stop
rats
being
that are
adorable.
They're like climbing all over me right now and I'm like, stop.
You need to clean that desk.
Shh.
You got 4 Pepsi cans. I love how you have the Diet Dr. Pepper. You have like 2 of them.
The one Diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, it looks like you have one on the left as well behind the 3rd can of Pepsi.
No, that's Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay. And you have Ritz crackers.
Mm-hmm.
You have what looks like some sort of lotion in that white-green bottle.
Yeah, it's lotion.
Ezio. And then you have a
he's bottle, guarding my Pepsi can.
Some empty bottle on the left of the screen.
Yeah, it's kind of messy. That's all that's on here, though. Like, that's my desk, all of it, except for my little, like, envelope thing off to the side.
And if they wiggle their tail, the white one's going to knock over all those empty cans. And that's going to be like, you're going to get those drips, drops of soda.
They're all empty.
Yeah, but there's always, like, a drop or two in the can. You never fully empty. I mean, that's the worst. Like, they fall over and that one splashes out. It's like, son of a...
It's all, like, goopy and sticky because it's been sitting there for a couple days.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
No, they're just staring at me. They think I'm talking to myself or something. Why are you staring at me?
Oh, are you friends with my cousin on Facebook? I'm sorry.
Oh, did he like my picture? Oh, yeah, he did.
Let's see. Sorry, I was reading. Apparently, WoW lost a bunch of subscribers since February.
Yeah, nobody cares about WoW. So.
Well, it's still got a lot of people, and I know they've been working on Titan, the other thing. The other new MMO they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm still just trying to play. I finally got the point in Dead Island where we got a bunch of guns, and it's only in about chapter 6 is where we finally start getting a bunch. Like, we actually get, like, the machine guns, and man, they're so fun. I love once I'm so glad you get guns. I mean, it took us a while to get there because we did, like, every side quest we can do, and we spent time, like, doing all this shit. And it's like, oh, it feels like forever to get to where we're at. But it's like, oh, yay, we have all these guns now. And it sucks that I want to play, but I have to wait till the weekend since he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
He can't play it. But we've been playing StarCraft in the in-between. Climbing that ladder. I'm going to play some more today, get back up.
Got to get to the top of the nerd ladder.
I got to deal with that cheese. Cheese is too much, but let's see if I can.
That's the worst is people that are ranked higher than you because they freaking cheat.
Well, it's like the thing I find on the ladder is when someone, if I lose to cheese, oops, let me make sure I can remember my password here. I had to change my password as well. Ah, fuck, that's not the right one. But, no, it's like if someone beats me by cheesing, it's like that's not skill, so I don't care. I mean, one, I should have scouted it. And it's like I could have countered it. And usually I can counter most cheese pretty easily. Like I can handle most harassment. But if I like lose to someone 6-point, I'm like, whatever. And cheesing to me seems to be much more common in like 2v2s. Like 2v2s, I feel like, especially Zerg, in a while, like always try to frickin' cheese. And it was like the most annoying thing ever. Ooh, I got bumped down to 8th.
Oh, sad day.
And then 2v2, we're in 36. We're only in silver. We're not, like, anywhere crazy, but I'm in... Where am I? I'm 8th and right. Ooh, if I win one game, I'll be put 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly up to 2nd if I win one game.
Hmm.
Problem now is I'm playing so much, it's like... I go through my bonus pool way too quickly. Like, right now, my bonus pool is only 13, so it's like, ugh. And I liked having that buffer when I started playing at the end of last season, because it's like, if I lost, it didn't matter. It just got taken out of my bonus pool. But I'm 15 and 8, which is, it's just weird. I'm looking at, I look at the ranks, and there's a guy that's in, the guy in 7th is only 4 and 2. I'm like, I'm 15 and 8. It's like, that's almost 2 to 1, and he is 2 to 1, and I'm like, he won 4, and I won 15. How is he 9 points ahead of me in the ladder? Unless he just... It must be that He waited, built up his bonus pool, and then all his bonus pool went into spending for stuff. But it's really annoying when I see that. I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's like I'm getting penalized for not letting it build up. Like the guy way up ahead, he's 18 and 11, and he's 256. I only have 190 points. It's like, and the guy in first is 8 and 5, and he has 276. Annoying. The one thing they do in the ladder, which is kind of cool, is they have the system where if I'm silver and I'm playing a bunch of, if I play guys that are like higher up in gold, technically, like if they're matching me up against those kind of people, if I beat one, it doesn't put me in gold right away. I have to beat, like, I have to have an average that,
yeah,
I have to beat like a couple guys within that range in order for it to finally put me into that location.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool because then you're not bouncing around, but it just sucks because then when I was in bronze, I was like, I'm still beating everybody in bronze. Like, I might lose one time because I'm just screwing around or whatever, but it's like, I got to get out of this ladder. And I'm like in first. I'm like, oh, I just want to be out of the ladder. But I have to win a couple games. And it's like, Jesus Christ. But I'm going to hopefully I can get out of here and get into gold. See how high I can get. I got a macro better. I got my macro down fine in the beginning. It's like once I start going to the battle, then all my resources get built up, and I'm like just spamming units. I'm not necessarily continuing my macro. I'm like, okay. I got decent micro, but whatever. Let's close that. Well, we need a secret word.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll do...
We can't force Isley to do it this week.
Nope, but we could still make it the secret word anniversary, but... We could make it spelunking. So yeah, I guess the secret, since that's what he's doing, well, the secret word would be spelunking.
Yay, fun word.
So there we go. In honor of Isley. And, I guess I'll about do it. I don't want to ramble on. I saw you make a post on Facebook. You're like, oh, just a couple more paychecks and I'll be able to get this. And it was that HD capture device.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird because it says, I was reading the description of it and like how it works, and it says it captures through HDMI, but
it comes with a special cable which is the same way that the Elgato captures HDMI through the PS3. It comes with a special cable.
Okay, because I know there's DRM on the HDMI.
Yeah.
Output from the console, so I'm curious how a cable gets around it, because the signal comes from the console itself.
That's why I was looking at people that actually were streaming and like recording the PlayStation Store. Like, I could tell it was from the PlayStation.
Yeah, but I guess it's a store, but I'd want to see them stream games. Like, I'm curious about the games. Like, the store is not, because it's not like it is on all the time. It's like once that content goes in, and it's like, and it's content aware, like, oh, this is a game, DRM activated.
I don't know if it's, well, yeah, maybe it does it that way, I'm not sure.
Because even on the Elgato that came out, the new version that had the HDMI on it, I knew people saying, oh, you know, this won't work for PS3 because of this, the protection, not necessarily DRM, but just the HDMI protection. So I'm really interested in that thing on how that would work. I mean, I still just capture with component. If I capture, I mean, I'm not capturing right now or doing anything, but...
Yeah, it has a way... I'm pretty sure it captures through component, too, because it comes with a component adapter.
Yeah, it's...
So yeah, I was like, either way, if I get this, I can record. But if I can record through HDMI and only have, like, one cable and one thing to plug in, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if that actually works, though. I saw... An article, I guess Shuhei Yoshida was doing a bunch of interviews with some magazines, and they're saying stuff like, you know, they never considered an always online console, and that's fine. But he said that, and this sparked an article, I think it was on computer something.net or io9, I forget what site it was, or some tech site, where they said, well, they just killed streaming, where he was saying how developers will have the tools to basically censor part of their games for streaming.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is like, okay, one, they have that already in place with the Vita for screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's Sony's doing it. It's giving them the option. And And suddenly this article, this guy was saying, oh, well, you just killed it, where some guy's watching his friend do a stream, and he gets to that part that it's censored, and also it's like the stream gets cut off, and you can't see the ending, and they just troll people. And it's like, well, it's like, one, it's like, who really cares?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the developer wanted to do that on the console itself with the built-in stream, fine. But, I mean, they realize there's ways around it.
Yeah, people are probably still going to stream normally through capture devices that they already have.
Yeah, you're not going to stop it. Like, I can still capture and stream regardless. Like, I'd be able to do it. And it's like, I don't see, you know, why. I mean, put the in there, that's fine. I don't think it suddenly kills streaming on the console. Like,
no.
Like, I don't see any developers actually doing that. But having the option there is fine, I guess. I mean, I don't see being like, oh, well, now this is dumb because then it's like, well, what about the point in the game where I let a friend, he's watching me play, and then I let him take control? It's not going to censor that because I'm taking control of his character all of a sudden. But this one article was just, it was dumb. The guy was all in an uproar about it, like,
it's stupid. There's no, it's not going to ruin, like, people's careers.
Yeah, it's like,
because they have their own, you know, setup going on, and it doesn't go through that. That's for like casual people that want to like stream and share
exactly
just clips and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, it makes it easier. You don't have to have, you know, a capture device and then the computer to run it through or whatever.
Yeah,
you don't have to do all that. It's just, you just do it, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, and obviously, yeah, sure, we could be in it, you know, this huge influx of a bunch of people streaming, but you don't have to watch all that. I mean, if there were people like hypothetical, let's use like StarCraft 2, for example, because a lot of the top players in the world, they stream, like that's their business model. They stream, they get paid, you know, they have all this stuff, and that's what they do. If everybody had the ability to stream easily in that game without needing, you know, special programs, and they did it, it's like that wouldn't, you'd still watch only the professionals, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, because everybody can do it doesn't mean I'm going to go out there and watch someone, be like some random person going, oh, he's streaming this game, I'm going to go watch it. It's like,
you might watch like a couple seconds or, you know, maybe even an hour just to see the game.
Yeah, if it's a game.
But it's like,
you don't,
if
have,
it's
yeah.
not a good person with like good commentary or good gameplay and stuff, you're not going to continue to watch it.
Exactly. It's like, there's no need. You're going to stick with who you know at first and then try to go around and be like,
yeah.
You know,
and then you'll find, I think it's more of a chance like for people to find other streamers that are really good.
Yeah.
And for people who want to do it and might be really good to give them a chance to do it.
Exactly,
and still, it's just like a casual thing too. It's like, oh, look at this awesome thing I did in my game. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever. It's like, because that was one of Kurt's or Flash's biggest concerns. Like, told me, it's like, well, it's gonna kind of suck because then everybody's gonna do it. And it's like, yeah, the exclusivity of people, you know, you have to invest to do it initially.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes it to where like, okay, if you're gonna do it, then clearly they're gonna do something that you're trying to actually put some work into it. Like, you know, I bought my stuff so I can make those Battlefield videos, and it's like, okay, I'm going to put time in this and try to do these clips, and I'm going to, you know, hopefully work on it and get better, but I'm not just going to put out a bunch of trash necessarily, and then if just because a bunch of people can do it, I still don't feel like it takes it down, but, you know, that's...
There's still going to be the people that do it right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then do it well.
Yeah,
so it's like, and there's going to be probably more people that are going to realize, hey, maybe I like doing this, and they're going to put the effort into making, you know, cutaways and more, like, montage clips and, you know, intros and outros, putting actual effort into it rather than just, like, sharing it from the game and that's it.
Yeah. Exactly. And like I said, the good people will be filtered out, and then the bad people will just kind of go away. It's like, maybe those people will only have their friends, you know, watch their stuff and not everybody else, but that's,
it's not going to ruin the streaming career.
Yeah, I don't see that. And I don't care if you're like, oh, they might censor something.
It's like, oh no, we cut away the ending so not everybody can see it. Oh no, what a bad day. It's like, just calm down.
I mean, I could see, like, them, if they did something to where, let's say one store broke Street Date, and suddenly it's like, oh, well, now that it's, if it broke it early, I mean, there's stores notorious for that, especially the GameStops in, like, certain locations. Like, they'll just, like, Southern Cali, there's places that do that. In Texas, sometimes they do that as well. Mm-hmm. They'll just be like, oh, they'll just break it because there's guys working there. They don't care. It's like, yeah, sure, here. They just sell it. So I could see, like, oh, we don't want the ending to be posted online right away or something. I could see them maybe doing something then and then taking it off when the game actually launches. Or if, obviously, the NDAs as far as review copies going out, no one's, none of those people are going to really go back on that because they would lose their, you know,
future. Their actual job.
Yeah, not even, but they're also, it's also bad faith for the developer, so they're not going to send them review copies anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't have to worry about that, but I don't see why you would censor, you would do that to a game.
I can understand if they just didn't want everybody broadcasting the ending, but it's like, if you're really bothered by it, like, you can share it from your PS3, but, like, invest in a real capture device system and tell people, like, if you want to actually see the ending, see my video here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're still going to find it, right? You can't not, in day, this day and age, like, anybody, it could be just a Steadicam shot or whatever. Like, they're, if someone's going to want to put it online, they'll put it online.
Yeah.
It's like when they go, oh, they released this thing, but they quickly took it off Twitter. It's like, well, it doesn't matter because 150 people just screen grabbed it and sent it off to all these news articles.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, oh, that video went out on Facebook, and they, if they were doing something at a party they shouldn't be, and it got taken down. It's like, well, nope, you, the words taken off the internet don't exist. It's like someone has it somewhere. But, yeah, you can't once it's out there. But, yeah, whatever. Anyways, it's, I'm curious if there are any Vita games that any developer actually uses that feature of turning off the screen grab. But, all right, well, I guess that'll do it for this week. Short one.
Yeah.
Looking forward to some games. Let's see, Metro. I'm looking forward to Metro Last Light. Hoping that turns out well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm waiting for my week off in June after the E3s. Gonna play Last of Us. And watch Superman. Man, I watched Pain and Gain the other day. That movie's dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny, though. But I didn't realize, like, I didn't know about the true story it was based on, because I never heard about it, because it was back in, like, 95. But, man, all that stuff that happens in the movie is, like, so out of control. Like, the dialogue's great, and The Rock is hilarious. But it's just, dude, the people that did this, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe people would do this.
Can't believe this is real.
Like, as a movie,
some part of this is real somewhere?
It's like, well, the majority of it, it's like, it's all, there's even a part in the scene where something's happened, and then it stops and goes, remember, this is all a true story. And it's like, the thing that this guy's doing, and it's like, so much of it's out of control, but it's like, they just took all that information, and obviously dialogue is something that, you know, has changed, but as far as the events that happen, it's like, it's ridiculous. Because they talk about, like, evidence that was used and everything, and then they those parts show up in the movie and what happened, but it's so nuts. But yeah,
did you see Iron Man yet?
Yeah, I saw that opening weekend too.
Oh, you did? I didn't get to see it till yesterday. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's intense. It's really dark for, like, a superhero movie.
I was reading, there's a thing on IGN about the 15th or the things in common between The Dark Knight Rises and Iron Man 3, and it was like 15 different things, and it's like, yeah, those, they're really alike in those aspects. Like, I was like, yep, they followed those 15 points exactly. But I hear people online going, oh, we didn't like it. And then, it's really polarizing. Like, there are a lot of people saying it's just like The Dark Knight Rises. Either you like it or you don't. Like, but it's like a huge thing. Like, some people really thought it was great, and some people thought, eh. And I see a lot of people go, yeah, I feel like Iron Man 3 wasn't that great. I mean, I liked it better than the second one.
Yeah.
And I suppose not as much as the first one, only because it's getting, since this is a movie post Avengers.
Yeah.
There's some things that happen in it that, one thing in particular, like there's one scene, I don't want to spoil it. I can't spoil it for people that know, that read the comics, but okay, so don't listen for like 15 seconds because I'm going to say one or two quick words. It's going to tell Zaya exactly what it is that I thought was kind of ridiculous. But anyway, so stop listening now or jump ahead 15 seconds right now. Okay, fire breathing.
Anyways, oh, yeah.
So that's like
stupid. I hated that.
It's dumb. And it's like, that's the one thing I feel like I'm like, okay, that was, because that's my biggest problem with that pulls me out of a movie that's based in, like, I felt like the first Iron Man was very based in reality. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it was still in the Marvel universe, and they were establishing that universe.
Yeah.
But in the first one, it was very like that's, like, I've said it before. I say it, like, all the time, and I've said it, and Nisley gives me shit. But, like, that's why I like the Batman movies, because they're all heavily grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the first Iron Man because it was the most real. Obviously, he's making a flying suit, and that's a little far-fetched. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like, it's stuff happening on Earth. And even the second one, I know someone using, you know, Whiplash is kind of a silly character, like, idea. You know, I'm wearing this suit with the electricity. It doesn't hurt me, though, but it can cut through a car. You know, I'm not getting near it. But, like, it's kind of silly, but it still, like, got that reality to it. And then
yeah.
The third one, there was that. And it's just like, and it's like,
it was just unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, there are several different ways they could have fleshed out that scene, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess in the comics, that happens.
Yeah, it does.
But it's like, that was like that one thing. I was like, okay, everything else that happens, like, around that group, it's like, okay, that's fine. I mean, that's something that scientifically people probably try to work towards, so I can accept that within this universe.
Mm-hmm.
But
everything else was very, like, in the Iron Man universe. It was like, these things aren't just appearing out of, like, magic. People are building these things.
Yeah.
And they're super, super smart. But it's like, there's just other ways I think they could have fit that in without it just being randomly there and then it never happens again.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like it was necessary, that one, yeah, that one part. Like, it didn't, I was like, that didn't need to happen. And then
Have saved it for the end battle where he didn't use it at all.
Yeah, I guess. I want to talk a little bit more about it, just mainly about other people's complaints. Mm-hmm. But, okay, spoilers, if you haven't seen it, jump ahead a bit, but I'm gonna talk about one point where some guy, I was reading an article, I'll tell you when to stop listening. I was reading an article and someone was talking about his five issues with the movie, and some of the issues didn't matter, but the one issue he had, which I thought was dumb because it was explained, I thought it was pretty clear. I mean, I thought about it for a second and go, yeah, he's right. And I thought, no, he's not. He's wrong because of this. Okay, spoilers. But the guy was annoyed that the idea. So, again, spoilers. Everybody skip ahead by like a couple minutes because I'm going to talk about Iron Man right now. But he's all, the idea that Tony Stark only has one suit and he's trying to fix that one suit, which makes the whole tension of the whole movie, basically. But then at the end, he has a whole army of suits. And it's like, well, that just kind of defeats the whole first two parts of the movie. It's like, well, this is dumb because he could have just had the whole suit. But I'm like, yeah, that does. For a second, I agree with him. I'm like, yeah, that is kind of silly. And I thought, well, no, because the whole reason he didn't have that army yet is because the place got destroyed. So they're buried. He asked Jarvis, once Jarvis comes. And one, he has to wait for Jarvis to come back online.
Yeah.
So Jarvis is rebooting. The suit has to get the power for him to do that because the AI is in him right now. He's has no other way to communicate with Jarvis. And it's like, and then he tells him, he goes, are the cranes there? And he goes, yeah, they're there. So they've cleared the rubble. So now it can open. I'm like, okay, well, that answers that. And it's like, yeah, it did seem kind of strange at first, especially if you don't pay attention to that.
If you didn't, it was a little bit subtle.
Yeah. And then,
because it did take me a second to, like, realized that they had cleared the rubble out of the way and that his house had basically fallen on the, like, the hatch.
Yeah.
And it took me a second to realize that they picked up this giant piece of rubble and moved it, and then the thing opened. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah. And I know they, in the beginning of it, they make it a good point to show, like, all the suits blowing up. Like, mm-hmm. oh, that was all the suits. But they do acknowledge, I mean, they foreshadow it when Pepper goes, what is that, the Mark 15? And he goes, oh, yeah, and it says, like, Mark 42.
Yeah, his Mark 42 suit.
Yeah, like, you clearly know, okay, there's a lot. But
that was not, you know,
very subtle.
Eighth one or the ninth one.
Yeah, it's like, that's, he's got a ton of these. And I like how, I mean, I'm not a comic book person, but I know about the suits, like the Hulkbuster suit.
Yeah.
And, like, they show that one. And he even calls him, I guess, I'm assuming some of the names he calls out are the names in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
When he tells them to do stuff. And then, but I guess talk about it a little more next week. Not that I'm like, I really want to talk about, but just something kind of talk about, like, about, like, oh, this is about the ending and then where this leaves, blah, blah, blah.
I just wish, because I went to Disneyland to see that display. They had marks 1 through 8 and then they had the Mark 42. I was like, I know I'm feeling greedy right now, but I want all the other suits here so I can see them.
That'd be a lot.
Just like a giant display of all the Iron Man suits. I would
that'd
die.
Be, that'd be out of control.
Yeah. I'd be like, I want this in my house right now.
Yeah.
I need this.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up there. That way people don't have to go on and have to put a timestamp on when they can listen, but in case they didn't see the movie yet. But definitely looking forward to Star Trek. For some reason, I thought it was this weekend, but I don't know why I thought that. But it's next weekend. And then I forgot that Pacific Rim comes out the weekend before Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely look forward to Pacific Rim. And then there's something else that comes out soon, too, that I'm interested in. But I forgot what it was. I saw a preview for a movie the other day called The Purge.
Oh, yeah.
With Ethan Hawke.
Mm-hmm.
That looked really interesting. I was like, I kind of like those movies where, you know, the people are trapped and they have to fight their way out, mm-hmm. kind of thing. I didn't like it in Straw Dogs only because it took forever in the first 3/4 of Straw Dogs really pissed me off, and I had to wait for that payout at the end. I was like, I fucking hate this movie. And I was like, okay, finally. But like, that looks really interesting. Like, you just have one day where it's like shit's going
absolute
down.
Chaos.
It's like 12 hours of do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I need to watch the trailer for it, or the teaser trailer for The World's End by the Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
Mm.
Movie. I went to watch it, but where I went to watch on YouTube, it said it was pulled off, so I'm gonna have to go to some other site and see where it is. But anybody who plays StarCraft 2, I know, I don't know, but there's this guy, Husky, on StarCraft. I think it's just Husky StarCraft is his name on there. But he does this thing called Bronze League Heroes. It's where people send him videos of basically Bronze League games, which is the lowest tier of, like, just people that play and don't, like, know, have any idea what the hell they're doing. They're just bad players. And he sends he does commentary over it like he's doing a pro game, and it is the funniest thing ever, especially if you're someone who knows how to play the game. It'd be like if they gave a bunch of noobs in FF11, like, level 99 characters, and then had them fight in H&M, and then you watch that fight, and someone comments over it, like, their strategy and what they're doing and how they're doing
it's
everything.
Like, oh, they engaged the monster. Oh, they're dead now.
Yeah, it's like that, except they maybe instead, like, let's say the real fight, if you play it right, goes really well and lasts 20 minutes, whereas when they do it, it's only 10 minutes and it's just out of control instead of just dying. It's like, because you watch these Bronze League Hero games, and there's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And his commentary over it is just so funny. And it's, oh God, it's hilarious. He's got like 21 episodes of them, and they're just the funniest thing ever. Bronze League Heroes, you can just look that up. It's so good. These people are just so bad. But anyway, I'll keep yawning. I gotta stop yawning. I gotta stop yawning because I gotta play StarCraft. But, all right, I guess that'll do it for this week. Thanks, Zaya, for joining. And hopefully Isley will be back next week and he won't fall off a cliff.
Yeah, hopefully he will be intact and alive.
Yeah, I was watching the recent Game of Thrones, and I don't want anything
to
happen.
Oh, I need to watch that.
But, yeah. Anyways, so, yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all next week.
Bye!